Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Colin Neal in for Figgy Fig. They are in the loop and they start now.
Welcome to game week, baby. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard Sean tell you who all the people are. That is John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Colin Neal in for the illustrious Figgy Fig, taking a couple days off. More power to the guy. Really leaning into the Labor Day ethos. He was like, why not Labor Week? You know? Like, why not? And I respect him on that. I wish I could be like him. However, it's game week. We got to get into it. 713-572-4610 is the way to get involved with the program. We talking about football, baby. We not talking about training camp. We not quite talking about practices.
Yeah.
We not talking about depth charts or rosters. We are talking about football. So get involved with us. 713-572-4610. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams.
Mm-hmm.
Both on the YouTube page and, rather, Sports Radio 610 and on the Twitch chat 610 Houston. There we go.
We keep it 100.
Yeah, they do.
I was like, I need to take this breath. I did not hear the thing that I typically like to hear in that moment. It do not matter. We're here. We're ready. And we got some news for game week as well.
We do. And just to reiterate, it's game. Not just a preseason game. This is a true game week.
Is that one?
This is it. It's happening.
And we start with the fun one too. Like, yeah, obviously, Los Angeles Rams. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. There's been lots of like kind of ups and downs portions of this. But maybe the most important one, D'Amico Ryans was actually telling us about, and Colin, I might be pulling you in a lot of different ways here. So let's see if you can keep up here. Do you have, first and foremost, give me a little bit of visual confirmation. You got D'Amico right there, D'Amico, who talks to the media. I realize I'm putting you in a tough spot.
Hey,
right?
It's fine. It's okay.
I wanted to make sure that you're at least following me and I'm not completely setting you up to fail here.
Yeah,
right.
It's funny because as soon as you started talking, I started clicking on D'Amico, like, getting all the D'Amico files in the audio software. Right. And I was like, ah.
So let's see if we are in week one mode. D'Amico Ryans was asked about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and no, already no. Okay, very good. But
being a little slow right now.
Okay, so
as soon as we started saying stuff, and they're from, it's going to be ready in 20 seconds. Nope, it's not.
Computers don't
want
us to be great. They don't want us to be great. Yeah. I can summarize it. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, good to go.
He's good to go. How did that news hit you? Because for me, I was frankly a little surprised.
I know you were, because you've been a C.J. Gardner-Johnson ACL hater over there.
No, just the realistic thing to me is we know what we saw. It was bad. And I would think the Texans would kind of err to the side of caution. But if he's good to go, let's go. You know, I mean, I think it's gonna change so many things for this defense that you can't even really, you know, qualified, however you want to put it. Because I keep going back to D'Amico Ryans with this new toy named C.J. Gardner-Johnson and what it's going to do, not just for the defense, not just leadership, not just toughness, not just tackling, not just the middle of the field, but with his play calling, his defensive play calling. Because now he's got guys coming from all over, and you don't know where they're going to come from, you know?
No, fair. And I know that you very much, as you're detailing there, have been like very big on the idea of another guy that you feel comfortable adding to the physicality of what is a physical downhill defense,
places.
Right? So, yeah. Like, obviously, we love Jalen Petrie for his ability to get downhill, almost work like a linebacker. C.J. Gardner-Johnson can bring that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, I think also, like, he is very versatile, not just in that way, but a lot of different ways, and experienced, right?
Yeah.
In a way that, with all due respect to Eric Murray, he was not, right? So, I mean, Sean McVay, who talked, I believe, yesterday to the media, just as any coach would, as obviously D'Amico did, when McVay was talking about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he was talking so very glowingly about C.J. and what he brings. You actually have this in this McVay 8 here, Colin. This was Sean McVay asked yesterday about C.J. Gardner-Johnson being expected to play. And just listen to the respect that is given from the L.A. Rams coach.
You feel him. I mean, when he played Philly last year, he made a bunch of big-time plays in some critical situations. You know, he's really productive in both phases. I think he's got a great concept trigger. There's a toughness that fits what they've done each of the last couple years. And so, you know, what they do is they play their style of play at a really high level. D'Amico does an excellent job with Coach Burke of being able to mix it up. But there's, you know, these guys, they play connected. 11 as one. They play tough. They fly to the football. They attack at the football. And this guy will be a great extension of that. So, even though you might not have a lot of representative clips, you know, we know what kind of player this guy is. I got a lot of respect for him. He made some big time plays in that divisional loss last year for Philly.
And the reason why I believe C.J. Gardner-Johnson being in there is so important is you go up against the Rams team. They got a couple of guys who can kill you over the middle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Puka Nacua has become a little bit of a slot god himself, right? He's just been really good in his time with Sean McVay. And I think with in those circumstances, it's like the IQ, the ability to kind of do those various things and make defenses pay. But then on top of that, you add a man who you saw last year in one of your lowest moments, I don't remember what week number it was, but it was Halloween night, Thursday night versus the Jets, Davante Adams, who was just absolutely cooking you. And part of the reasons why is that Mike LaFleur did a great job of moving him around and getting him into the middle of the field, right, and getting him into the slot and absolutely working you. Hey, having a linebacker that can come down and kind of understand that to a high degree and play that kind of that brilliant level of football that I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson brings is going to be so much better in helping to alleviate one of the things that was an issue for you last year was dealing with dudes over the middle.
No, that's one of the things that I think is most important, and I was talking about earlier as well. You know, it's the middle of the field that has been for a couple of years now, not just last year, has been such an issue and a question mark. We've been talking about safety for at least the last two off seasons, if not more. Well, you've got that guy now, and he's healthy, and he's going to play. It's going to be a huge, huge difference.
By the way, because I bring this up, Davante Adams is somebody that we mentioned last week, and how confident are you in the Texans' ability to kind of slow him down? He's in that class still of wide receivers that you go, yeah, you're not going to stop him.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to put entire clamps on him, but can you put a governor on what he's capable of doing? How confident are you in their ability, especially with C.J. Gardner?
Well, I think that's one of the things you circle in this game. You know, how confident I am. You know, I'll be a little wishy-washy here. I don't know because I think he is still that guy that can make those. We saw it, as you mentioned, Leno, just as recently as last year. So I don't know. I'll put it this way, more confident because of what they have there. But not necessarily. I still think it's going to be one of those matchups that you have to circle.
I will be interested, though, even with C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, with how much we know that they respect him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Texans, but obviously the Rams respect him. How much they respect him and his ability to step on a field and play. Mm-hmm. How much they respect Jalen Petrie. I am interested how much we will see that wrinkle that I'm anticipating we get more of this year, which is your full base, having three linebackers, including, I imagine, clearly Christian Harris, but maybe EJ Speed with the versatility they have, or if that's one of those, not this week, right, because of the versatility of those two guys that we're talking about wide receiver.
No, I think we'll see it, and I think the reason we can see it is C.J. Gardner-Johnson on the back end and Kalen Bullock, if we're being honest, because I think both those guys, one, they're aggressive in different ways, one at the ball, one at people. You know, and I think that's what's going
to
help them.
Fair enough. And I see you 832 again. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Welcome to Death Row, or as they call it, the kill zone. This will be the first time that we see this defense all healthy. And that's fair, right? Like, this is something that they talked about. I think Nico Collins brought it up, and then Will Anderson Jr. was asked about it again when he sat down on the green light pod. He was asked about that, you know, what's that kill zone? And it really is that area of the game. I imagine mostly short of the flats, but really in that middle of the field. I think that that's going to be a very interesting place to watch in this game in particular. And so I'm very, very happy to know that C.J. Gardner-Johnson will be playing in this one. How do you have any concerns that he will, like, that there will be any limitations on him in this game? Or you think that this is, if he's playing, they're allowing him to be the full version of
himself? No, I think I'm just surprised, but I don't expect any limitations. Maybe here and there in specific sets, but none otherwise.
All right, so C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we talked a lot about that. We will talk a lot about that. He is pretty much the big change that you have to your defense starting-wise. But some other news that we got, the depth chart unofficial came out, and Damian Pierce still getting a lot of love in this when you look at the way. I don't think – was this the only thing that surprised you? Surprise is probably big.
No, but it
was,
did.
Okay, surprised you. Yeah. Okay, is this the only thing that surprised you in the unofficial depth chart? Because everything else felt pretty static, and it feels like we have talked it to death. In the way that we've seen it.
In terms of surprises, yes, because they love them some Damian Pierce, and hopefully they're right, but it did surprise me there. I think there were some other things that sort of like validated some things we already thought. I mean, Cam Robinson is good to go. Tay Ursary just beat him out, you know, at left tackle. And so that, not necessarily a surprise because we saw it coming, but that's impressive. That's impressive. And Jake Andrews was in this battle, you know, for a while.
It seemed like he grabbed that after
about 2 weeks.
Seems like, yeah.
Yeah, again, more validation of what we thought. And Ed Ingram, you know, Ed Ingram's going to be one of those guys that we don't necessarily talk a lot about, but he is locked down right guard. Defensively,
for now.
not yeah, for now.
Look, a season is a living, breathing animal, and especially with this Texas team. Not that I'm speaking anything to existence, and I'll knock on wood, but the likelihood of like or the possibility of injury always exists in football. It's the car crash sport, but also the possibility of we know that this isn't like the super most talented roster, and so. What is the possibility that execution wanes at some point?
Yeah.
That exists there. And the whole idea of competition, I imagine, is there so that if there is any level of drop-off in execution, well, all right, there's somebody else to come up here and give you a run for your money. So,
and we'll defensively, see. You know, we saw this coming as well, but it's just sort of, I don't know if heartwarming is the right word, impressive, whatever it is. You know, Christian Harris is healthy and good to go, and Henry To'oto'o is the guy. You know, they might go three linebackers, you know, a lot more with Christian Harris, but Henry To'oto'o, with the two linebacker set, is the guy. You know, he's right there next to Aziz.
And he's earned that, has he not? Like, I think he's been
not a surprise, though. But just impressive.
And that's another one where I'll be in this one less so than offensive line. I'll be interested to see if it remains like that for the entirety of the season.
Yeah.
Because the issue with him, as opposed to like the offensive line, the issue is not the right word, but the dude behind him is
really good,
very, very talented. Mm-hmm. The issue with him has been injury and health. So if he's available, healthy, and if he starts putting up the type of game that we can see, talk less of, if he starts playing like that Browns playoff game, does he come up and just snatch that from a Henry To'oto'o that is consistent?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Some other things that are worth noting news-wise, we should get captains, right? So we hypothesize
tomorrow.
That. But what we did get is new numbers. So for your programs, go ahead and make these marks. We talked about Jalen Smith, J-Rock as they like to call him, moving from that 30 to 22. So he grabbed that number that was vacated by Millett and I guess Jawar Jordan in a way as well. Speaking of Jawar Jordan, I think he ends up with 26 now, which was previously J.J. Taylor's. Jalen Reed taking that number that had been Eric Murray's. Then C.J. Gardner-Johnson was holding on to that. Then C.J. Gardner-Johnson let go of that number so he could pick up his 8. And I guess Jalen Reed was like, let me get that.
So Gardner-Johnson's 8. Jalen Knoll is 14.
And I missed that one.
Yeah, is 14.
How do you like that one? I kind of liked him in the 82. Like, I think when I think of the 80 numbers, and I understand why players don't like these as much.
Yeah.
I think they feel bigger. Like, they feel wider. This is really stupid.
No,
it is.
It's true.
I feel like those, you know, either single digits, obviously, but then, like, the teens feel leaner. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liked Jalen Knoll wearing an 82 because it made it visualized in my brain. And look, I might be sounding crazy, but it visualized in my brain the stoutness.
So
and
you
the
want
stockiness
him in a single digit.
No. I wanted him to keep wearing 82. 82? I like the feeling of him looking like a little bit of a bowling ball, you know, with that 82 on his back.
Yeah. So that's that. Jalen Smith, 22. Jalen Reed, 23. Away from 34. So there we go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So, we're getting going on a football game week. It's good to be here right here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, it was also a huge week one weekend. As we're heading into week one in the NFL, it was a huge week one weekend in college football. And there were some big storylines that came to fruition. Which of the big storylines caught your attention? 713-572-4610. Because, oh boy, Bill, you was looking crazy. We'll talk about that next in the loop.